In our restless world, the news never stops.
There's always something happening somewhere.
So catch up with the day's most important news stories in the Global News Podcast.
The Global News Podcast
from the BBC World Service. The latest edition is available now. Search for it wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
You're listening to the Witness History Podcast on the BBC World Service with me, Jill Kersley. It's 30 years since the Oslo Accords were signed. This agreement in 1993 aimed to bring about peace between the Israelis and Palestinians. This week, we're bringing you stories from Israeli and Palestinian history. Today, I'm taking you back to August 2005, when an orchestra was preparing to perform an extraordinary concert. A concert which would see Israeli musicians perform in the Palestinian city of Ramallah.
As soon as the first note was played, there were no more Israelis, no more Palestinians, no more Jews, no more Arabs. They were just musicians.
That's Daniel Cohen. He's Israeli. And this is Tame Flafy, who is Palestinian. They've both grown up amidst conflict.
I can safely say I think it was a life-changing experience for everyone.
Tame and Daniel were both violinists who performed in this unusual concert in the West Eastern Divan Orchestra. In 1999, Israeli conductor, the maestro Daniel Barenboim, and the Palestinian literary critic and philosopher Edward Said founded the orchestra. It was made up of young Arab and Israeli musicians. The founder's belief was that music has the power to bring people together.
I'm obviously had encountered many Israelis before. Being under occupation, it's kind of a given. Anytime you want to cross a checkpoint, you have to come face to face with an Israeli. So, you know, as a Palestinian, it's kind of unavoidable.
I have certainly never met a Palestinian before, only seen them in the news as really people who want our destruction. I remember, you know, Tame was the first Palestinian I've ever met.
Despite their different backgrounds, the two became friends. They sat next to each other when travelling and were paired together to do interviews for the orchestra. They also discussed politics. Because of the mixture of Arab and Israeli musicians, not everything within the orchestra was always harmonious. Here's cellist Alain Achia talking to the BBC in 2009.
There have been many times when there was an official discussion and then somebody said, OK, let's call it a day. And then you see everybody dividing up into their factions, talking very heatedly about what just happened.
However, when the orchestra played together, they forgot their differences. The maestro wanted to take them to the Palestinian city of Ramallah in 2004, but it didn't happen that year.
I've kind of grown used to the idea that every year there'll be a little butterflies in the stomach that we might go to a place that I would consider less safe, but was always thinking that it never really works, because what lunatic would take almost 100 young people to a place where they can't guarantee their safety? But of course, I wasn't counting on the spirit and the tenacity of Daniel Barenboim.
Finally, the maestro confirmed they would have their trip to Ramallah in August 2005.
I felt that I wanted to trust his instincts more than mine. And with a very split heart, decided to go on this journey.
For me, of course, I was going back home, so it wasn't a very difficult conversation to have in that sense.
Tame understood, though, that for the Israeli musicians, it was difficult.
They are not allowed to. It's actually illegal to go. On the Israeli side, Ramallah is not even a 40-minute drive from Tel Aviv. It's that close, and yet it could be as if it were at the end of the world. The image that many, I think, had in their mind was just full of terrorists, I think.
The concert was planned at the end of the orchestra's tour, where they had spent a month flying all over the world. But it was not possible for all the musicians to travel together to Ramallah.
We were separated into the group that went through the Arab countries, and the Israelis, of course, went through East Jerusalem.
So the Spanish government had supported this concert 100% and decided to grant all members of the orchestra Spanish diplomatic passports for this trip. Otherwise, it wouldn't have worked.
Daniel and Tame headed to the Ramallah concert via different routes.
When we entered the city, there was a curfew and we were driving in a convoy of bulletproof UN cars, UN jeeps.
How did it feel to be so heavily guarded?
I was certainly grateful, as it was quite clear that what we were doing was not to everyone's taste on both sides. But it didn't feel good. It didn't feel safe. It really brought home the problematics of the conflict.
The Arab musicians crossed and were able to stay. The Israeli musicians were brought in on the day of the concert.
That day was the 21st of August, 2005. Daniel and the other Israeli musicians arrived at the concert venue, the Cultural Palace in Ramallah.
And were extremely warmly received there. We had the morning rehearsal and then sat on the grass and played the sheshbesh, you know, played the board games with the Palestinian security guards.
Really, no one was supposed to leave the premises. There was a catered lunch, an amazing, amazing catered lunch, you know.
So what was on the menu for lunch then?
Well, I mean, all the good stuff.
Real hard, handmade food, which I will never forget, was the tastiest thing I've ever eaten. Food is how we show love in the Middle East.
The time came for the West Eastern Divan Orchestra, made up of Arab and Israeli musicians, to take to the stage.
I could not fathom that this is taking place, but it really was. And at the same time, none of us as musicians could afford to be completely carried away by the flood of emotions and realizations of, oh, we are here playing. I think that the energy was even more because of the context in this case.
And Maestro Daniel Barenboim made a passionate speech.
It is our duty, all of us, to find a way to live together, because either we all kill each other or we learn to share what there is to share. It is with this message that we have come to you today.
He did not only give that speech to the Palestinian audience that was sitting before him. He would have given the same speech also, or the message was also kind of implied that it is also for the Israelis.
There were tears in the eyes of both the musicians and audience members. For Tame, performing in her home city meant it was the first time she had played with so many people she knew in the audience. She waited to meet up with them after the concert. But for Daniel, it was different.
With the last note of the concert, the audience stayed put and the Israelis got back in the bulletproof cars, another curfew on Ramallah, and driven out of Ramallah immediately. So only when we crossed the border out of Ramallah could the audience leave the home.
A concert that many thought would be impossible had become reality.
That buzzing feeling still, you know, I can recall it really well, even all of those years later.
A rare gesture of the collaboration that could make our little corner of the world a heaven rather than a hell.
Tame Flafy and Daniel Cohen are both working in the music profession. They remain good friends. They were speaking to me, Jill Kersley, for that edition of the Witness History podcast on the BBC World Service. If you found this interesting, why not leave us a review? And please share it with anyone you think would like to hear it. It really helps in letting people know about the amazing stories you tell us on Witness History.
Unexpected Elements is all about finding the surprising science angles to everyday news.
I love that this show has the scope to discuss both emergent AI, nuclear in Ghana, and also what those stringy bits are on a banana.
And joining the dots between their global connections.
Nature does pack a lot of surprises for us.
An invisibility cloak in the acoustic domain.
So cool. That's Unexpected Elements from the BBC World Service. Find it wherever you get your BBC podcasts.